Welcome to Starfield Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SMB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have talk guests every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the phone, just dial 724-444-7444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702. And if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to reach me via Skype, my Skype ID is FranzGames, FranzGames. And of course, you can follow me on the Twitters. My account there is Paul Franz. So to find me, just go to twitter.com/PaulFranz. That's PaulFranz. And of course, I have a secondary account called FranzGames where I announce this podcast, various news, and also update the announcements of client updates. And of course, this lovely TalkCast gets turned into a podcast and available on iTunes and various other feeds around that, including the Google Play Store. Some quick news from this week. Steve Cole went to Oklahoma City. Wow, he did a quite a jump just to obtain a refurbished Mac G4. Computer to replace the one that stopped working. You know how old a G4 is? Pretty darn old. And the one that Patrick uses that has problems. So he went to get, computers, so more than one computer. So, boy, G4s are old. I have a G4 sitting in my basement. Not sure if he could use it or not. Steve Patrick also was working on, of course, the Zinni and Gorn Master Starship books this week. Also, as he's been doing for the past at least 3 weeks, if not month. And Gene was working, preparing on the release for the ships for the Shapeway shop. And, of course, she broke it and then got fixed again relatively quickly because invariably I think seems, from understanding from Gene, it can be quite finicky. It's at times. And of course, she's been beating off the spam assault. It's been kind of light lately, which is always good to see. But also, of course, she's been taking care of the blog feed where I get the news for this week and taking care of customers, which is very, very important. Don't care the customers, and you don't have customers. And I have to remember that. Moving on to the SMB Online tournaments, we still are waiting for the final to be played between Paul Graves and Clayton Kruger. Unfortunately, found out that in Platinum Hat 2017 tournament, which is actually only has one game, needs to be played in round one, and round two still has four games to complete, but most of the bracket, all except for one game, has been set when it comes to the round two. And unfortunately for my round two opponent is Paul Graves. Woohoo! He's in the Gorn. I'm in the Saltorian. I'm going to get my butt kicked. I got to figure out how to beat him. I'm not sure exactly how to do that. The problem is the Phaser 1s are going to get me if I play a close-in game. And it's probably going to have to involve doing Wild Weasels, which I hate doing. Because of invariably, if you do a Wild Weasel, a Gorn can just say, okay, fine, run, kill the Wild Weasel and keep coming. And then you're dead. So I have to figure out a way of defeating that. When it comes to library port, no updates for this week. Actually, Frank sent me a bunch of updates for feds, but that wasn't anything new. So the percent complete is still 71%. We need to work, go forward. Now, I have to admit, I apologize. There is one thing I can do to increase that number because of there have been identified somewhere around 15 or possibly as high as 20, somewhere around that neighborhood of what we call dead ships. Dead ships walking. Hey, what a concept. And that is ships that need to be removed from the library because they are not official. So I need to get that done, and that should bump the numbers a little bit, but we have to see what is left to do and get started on those. And with that is the news for this week. It is me, yes, the one, the only, the Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, it's just, well, me and Dave. Which is fine. I know I announced things late. Lord knows, I was definitely not searching for a topic. I had worse. But, yeah, I was going to start off with Starfleet Marines. Okay. I was about to start to say Starfleet Universe On Call. It's like, yeah, but that's what I'm doing right now. Yeah. Crazy things are going around in my head, and you really don't want to know. More to the point that, yeah, Starfleet Marines, actually, I did this week is one thing I did do, which I checked on. The progress, where I was actually in Starfleet Marines, and I noticed there were some issues with Starfleet Marines. And I fixed at least one of them. And there's another one I have to work on, which is the actual make sure it progresses through the phases and things like that. And because I tried that out and it didn't work. I mean, the plugin can't go out as is currently. Even as a kind of a beta of sorts, because it doesn't work. It needs to at least have some basic functionality. I have to actually define what that basic functionality is. The maps, the movement, counting movement, I don't think I can do in a beta because of there's a lot of things that need to be worked on when it comes to maps and how those maps are represented and more to the point. Okay, you know, knowing, okay, what is up, what is down, all that kind of thing. I'm hoping probably to work on, like, line of sight. Because it seems like, I think, if I recall correctly, two things are important in Starfleet Marines. One's line of, well, other than movement and counting the movement points to make sure that you don't use too many movement points and so forth. Of course, then there's the phases that you go through from moving to reaction movement to things like that. Obviously, for our final release, certain things would have to hold true. For example, things like looking at the individual pieces and has that piece fired or not this turn. If not, then it's available for reactionary fire on the next turn. Yes. Yes. Otherwise, it's not. It's kind of goofy. So, you know, for a final release, you want to be able to keep track of all of that stuff and have the client actually keep track of it so that you cannot fire it twice. Or at the very least gives you a warning. It's probably, at the you know, I might do what we currently do with Starfleet Battles rooms, which is that when it comes to movement, it warns you, it's like, you know that you've already moved once this turn. On this impulse, you know you can't move again. You know you've already moved, so it tells you, okay, this is basically warns you this might be an illegal movement, and then for you have a choice of either ignoring it and keep going, or saying, oh, you're right, okay, and stop, because of that's one thing I learned from doing the FedCom rooms. The room and implementing those rules there, and that is, it seems to be better to not hard code the rules to the degree where it doesn't allow any flexibility, because of when you program you can program the rules and say, oh, this will violate the rule, at least how we see it, how the client sees it. But you can say, well, for example, there might be a special rule for a scenario where you can violate those rules. For example, say that normally a unit only moves two. Well, you might have a super unit. Super unit might not be in the client, and you know, because it's not an official unit. It's only for this one scenario. In that scenario, you basically, one of the units is considered Superman. Who can leap tall buildings in a single bound, things like that, you know, have different rules for that unit, for a unit that currently is not represented on the board. And, you know, there's no way to represent it without actually sitting down and actually having, as strange as it might sound, a unit library where you actually can add units and then add certain special characteristics, like how much it can move, what, you know, and but even that is going to be controlled to a certain degree, i.e., you're going to be limited by what the client can recognize, and look what the client knows, and even if implement the whole idea of a unit library, a way of creating Superman. Or whatever. Or even, was it, like the Starfleet, not Starfleet Marines. When I'm talking about Starship Troopers. If you actually ever read the original books by Robert Heinlein, I actually got to read the books before I actually try to play the game. Yeah, I had seen the game because my brother had bought the game from Avalon Hill back in the day. And I remember seeing this really weird picture on the front where you got this guy in this suit and you got this basically a kind of a fishbowl, you know, looking helmet. You know, basically it's a sphere of a helmet with a visor. You can't see the guy's face at all. And you know, it's like he's being dropped. And one thing with the original Starship Troopers, Starship Troopers had like things like jump jets. So basically, you can do these super leaps, and you could bound across the terrain. This is, you know, so what normally we might take a 3-foot step, they might take a 20-foot step because it was power actuated. Suits, and of course this also this was originally created back in the day when the idea of a tactical nukes. Then I just realized I'm talking about the wrong thing. There was another game which was about flying jets. I forget the name of it now. It was also created by Avalon Hill. But I remember that one, which was weird, where it actually, one of the ordinances you could have is a tactical nuke. It's like, as I have expressed in the past few weeks, tactical nukes, there is no such thing as a tactical nuke. You can, quote unquote, control how much output. You still have the radiation, you still have all these other effects of a tactical warhead. I mean, of a nuclear warhead. I'm not talking about, you know, some of these ones where it basically can do as much damage as a nuclear bomb without all of the messiness, you know, all the radiation and all that kind of thing. Because then it's no longer a nuclear weapon. Unless you want, because I'm not sure if about the whole idea of a, remember this? I don't remember. What's nuclear fission versus nuclear fusion? Because I know one is what a nuclear bomb does currently, and the other one is more of like cold fusion. You know, where the idea is that you get the energy from creating a reaction which breaks apart the bonds of water and creates energy, or at least more energy out of it than it's put into it. That's the whole thing of, I think, fission, which they still haven't figured out how to do. You know, there was the whole hoax many years ago. That's when, oh, I created it. And no one was ever duplicated, i.e., if you can't duplicate the process, it's not validated. That means you did something that's not documented, that added energy into your process. Or you didn't document something which you want to like hold a secret or something like that, you know, which would definitely be wrong. Of course, and then there's the whole possible issue that the issue that is the reason why it's wrong is just the instruments were off. But anyhow, I'm getting sidetracked. But you know, that's the whole deal with the Starship Troopers, is that they're basically these mechanized troops. So the idea was that you have one troop which represented almost a whole squadron of men, so that the idea of the original Starship Troopers was to limit the number of actual troops required to have the same amount of power. And of course, this was mainly designed, the Starship Troopers were not designed for facing each other, you know, one-on-one combat, but human-on-human fighting. It was more for human versus alien fighting. And you know, you had the spiders, you know, the arachnids, and I forget if that's one thing I do not know, which is when it comes to the arachnids that are in the original novel, if they're anything like what was in the first Starship Trooper movie, which. Not a bad movie. I looked up like iTunes Starship Trooper 2 and 3, and they went, they just suck. It's like, you do not want to watch these. The other movies are the suck. So I'll probably never watch them. Maybe I'll look at them on Netflix and maybe I'll watch like the first 10 minutes and go, this is so bad. I can't stand it. But anyway, moving forward to the Starfleet Marines. But you know. But that's the whole idea, is that you have these extraordinary troops, or even worse troops, if you want to represent really poor troops. You know, they are troops. Actually, that's easily done if you just consider really poor troops to be civilians. And the way they react, how much strength they can be considered like militia, or something along those lines, where they're not... Because they're so bad, they could be considered just militia, you know, fearful and all that kind of thing. Not battle hardened. But anyhow, so you know that's what we need to get Starfleet Marines onto the SFU Online client. I would really like to add it to that so I can actually play some games with people. Of course, then I have to find people to play with. See how many people actually bought the rules, because I know I bought the rules. I bought actually both modules. And as I said, I think the biggest thing when it comes to those modules for Starfleet Marines at the moment would be maps. But as I mentioned before, also, I know maps are the most expensive thing in the whole darn caboodle, because it's physical cardboard. Now, of course, there is one possibility that I'm thinking of, which is, now, I'm not sure how much these would cost, which is, there are big sheet plotters. Because that's what you can do with the Federation Empire, the laminate maps. That ADB has done a limited run on a while ago, many years ago now. But you could possibly do the same kind of thing, not laminated. Now the question is, how many people? Well, the thing is, if you can print them out. As long as printing out one, or having someone print out one sheet, because The problem is with it is that it has to be outside of ADB. ADB would actually have to hire a printing company to print them out because of ADB doesn't own large format printers. And the whole idea of owning large format printers just to print out maps for Starfleet Marines is kind of goofy. Obviously, you can print out for F&E too, but you don't have that many different maps to print out. You know? Because the idea of these large format maps would be for, you know, have these rolled up maps that you can print out and then send to people of, instead of having a cardboard, have it just paper, you know, rolled up. And if people want to laminate them, well, they can go to local Staples and they might be able to get it laminated from them, you know, and they can absorb the expense instead of ADB selling it and hope, you know, and doing it that way. Obviously, they could probably laminate it for you and do all that kind of thing, but it might be, it'd be much more expensive, obviously, than just a piece of paper. And even that would be a little more expensive than normal, just for the plain simple reason that ADB would have to contract out with a large format printer. Actually, what was interesting, I was actually listening to one of my podcasts today, MILB, the show before the show. And one thing they were talking about was Amarillo, which is where Steve Cole and ADB actually is located, is Amarillo, Texas. And they actually are getting a minor league team there. They're starting to build the stadium. The stadium's supposed to be done by 2019. So, you know, maybe when after the stadium comes there, I might come and visit the minor league team because I love baseball. And it'd be kind of neat to go to a minor league team in Texas because I go to the minor league team here in Reading, you know, the Fighting Phils. Which is, you know, I always enjoy. So, when it comes to Starfleet Marines, I think it's one of the easier things to implement, and I would like to do it. Obviously, one thing I did look up, actually, was in the Federation FedCom forums. If you look at the Starfleet Marine section, one thing that ADB mentioned was Vassal. Someone had mentioned if ADB was planning on doing a Vassal module. And he said that most Vassal modules are usually done by individuals and then ADB will support them. I'm not sure how much support that they will give them, in my mind, because of, you know, I guess it all depends on one critical factor, which is that whether ADB, you know, what kind of licensing IP they're using. Because I know they had Starfleet Battle Force cards. They had really good quality cards, which I still have a copy of. And they had them pull that from Vassal's website. But that's understandable because those are really high quality cards. The photos were really high quality. They were really awesome. And he asked me, "Oh, can I do it?" "No, yeah, I can do it. You know, I can do it. I have not done it because of it's a little different animal from Starfleet Battles and a tactical board game. Actually, that might be an interesting idea to see if I could create a card game in Unity, which would be interesting. Possibly. Because I'd have to programmatically move things around, all that. But I'll do a quick Google, quick internet search on that. I don't use Google. It was DuckDuckGo. It's the search engine I use. So, anyhow, Should be interesting. Hopefully I can get that out. Also, one thing that is definitely happening, if anyone is interested, and I forgot to add that to the announcement portion, the news portion of the podcast, and that is that I am starting a brand new beginner's game. So if you've never played Starfleet Warlord before, you know, come and go to the play by email play-by-e-mail.com website, you know, that, you know, use hyphen, however you want to call it. And, you know, if you want to sign up and try out the game, you know, because I'm the beginner's games, I'm running for free. I plan on running them for 10 turns. And then if people are interested, they can then start a new game. I plan on starting actually a standard game, which is more of what people will be used to. And I'm trying to, the one reason also, it's as weird as this might sound, is that I want to start a standard game because of some of the more veteran players don't like playing standard game, the standard game, which is what I want. I don't want the veterans playing. I want some of the lesser experienced, the people who just enjoy playing the game and are not that good at it. Well, not that good, but I mean, not the people who are constantly winning, like Gene Mallon. I'm not sure about Shelley Christian. He's probably okay. But, you know, there are some other people that I would love to see playing in a standard game. You know, with beginners, because, come on, we need new blood. So, you know, that's why I'm starting the beginners games, where it's charging nothing. That's one thing I actually need. I've got on my to-do list, which is actually to make sure that that's advertised on the Play by Email website. So you say, you know, if you want to start, well, you can sign up for a beginning. Get an account, which will actually, in theory, it's free, but I direct them for a registration fee of $1. $1 from PayPal. Just $1. The whole idea of that is to cut back on spam. People that create accounts just to create accounts and just fill my account ledger with bogus accounts. Actually, that's one thing I just did this past week, which is I have not gone through all of the records, but, you know, I was looking at some of the latest records created. The latest records added, you know, latest accounts created, and I went, you know, this is just bogus, and it is. It was. I'm looking at the email addresses, looking at the names. The names are the same as the call sign, which means that tells me da-da-da-da, it is a bogus account. And so one thing I need to do is actually write a little piece of software which will go searching for all of them, where the call sign is the same name, and then just at the very least flag them, and then I can then go delete them, because of, you know, it's a waste of space and more things I have to manage, you know, later on. And it's like anything, it's like debugging, you know. Sorry, it's not like bugs. When it comes to software bugs, it's cheaper to find it earlier than it is to find it later. That is just how it is. So, moving forward, next topic I want to actually talk about actually is cooperative games. One thing that I end up buying a game called Pandemic. I think I got that right. Yeah, Pandemic. Not the second edition. because Best Buy actually, it's weird as it might sound, is selling games. It's like, why are you selling games? It was weird. It's really weird. But actually, come on, how surprising is that they're selling games just as, like, Barnes & Noble also selling games? Though, to be honest, Barnes & Noble has a bigger collection than Best Buy. Best Buy had, like, six different games. And these were the most popular games, like Pandemic, like Settlers of Canton. What else was there? There are a few more that I can't remember off the top of my head. But they're basically, well, for the most part, they're the more popular ones, the more well-known ones. There are some that I didn't know about, but I'm willing to bet you that they're pretty well up there when it comes to popularity. I forget what it was in this one section. I know where it is in the store. I just don't remember what's around it. Because of... But anyway, the thing is, Pandemic... This made me think, you know, so I got Pandemic. Pandemic is a cooperative game. The whole idea is that it's basically the players against the game. You know, pretty basic, pretty simple, at least in concept. Now, of course, this brings up a question for me, which is, if it's a cooperative game, well, the number of players for Pandemic is 2 to 6, and the recommended number of players is 4. And I can see that. But in theory, in my mind, if it's a cooperative game, in theory, you can actually play it by yourself. Because, what was it, Dice Tower? I think it was the reviewer. But I'm not sure what to call it. Not company, but whatever. I watched the video about Pandemic, and the one thing that he mentioned is one thing which I totally understand, and I does when it comes to cooperative games, I can see how it can easily happen, which is he was heard that, you know, it's like you got to warn people that sometimes you get this strong personality, but is the best way to describe it, good way to describe it in my mind, and that strong personality basically just controls all the rest of the players. So it's like he is playing the game, and those people are then just his pawns that he's using to take turns that are not his. Now, that's good and bad. I can see, that you might want to allow a certain amount of that, especially for people who don't know how to play. The first couple times where they're not quite sure how it goes, but obviously the whole idea of a cooperative game is that you have multiple people talking about it and maybe talking about the best strategy. Like, oh, you know, okay, we are going to be doing this, so that means you need to do this. You know, the important thing in that case, what that makes it different than that strong personality which controls everything, is that it's agreed upon by everyone involved. Obviously, you can say how all that can happen for, like, if just something inadvertent can happen like that. For example, if you're teaching a game, invariably you're going to have that strong personality and you actually have to tell everybody what to do. At least that's the first time through. They have to be kind of that strong personality to keep the game going because they know the rules. They know how to win. But after like the first or second time, that's when that person has to scale back and go, okay, now let's start talking about, okay, what we want to do, where we are, you know, okay, what happens, you know, and how can we best move forward? In that case, you have to discuss it with people. That's the whole idea of a cooperative game. Now, given that cooperative games are you against the game, y'all against the game. You're not fighting each other. They're basically it's all win or all lose. There's no, oh, I was doing better. I got more points or whatever. No, there's no one has more points than anybody else. It's a cooperative game. You against the game itself. So given that, the one question I had, because of, you know, the whole idea of a cooperative game is you against the game, is it possible to create an SFU game which is a cooperative game, i.e. that you all work against, you play against the, not play against the rules, play against the game, basically. Because the thing is, the reason why this comes up to me anyway is because of one thing, and that is that Starfleet Battles, Federation Commander, Starfleet Marines, these are all tactical board games. Even Federation Empire, which is a strategic level board game. But it's all based on one major concept, that is conflict. That you're not working together against the board, you're working against each other. You're trying to win. Well, you're trying to, or at the very least, trying to get it so your opponent loses. The only time that it's you against the game is when you have monster scenarios where you have an automated monster, you know. And I guess in that scenario, it basically can be considered a cooperative game at that point. Now, here's the one thing about that, and that is that in theory, if you wanted to, you actually could fire on another opponent, and there's nothing that it can be done. Versus a lot of these cooperative games, because this is only the second cooperative game that I know of. I know there's more out there. You know, forgive me for not knowing more. But this is the second game that I'm familiar with. Another one was, I forgot what it's called, but it was about fighting a fire in a house. And the whole idea was to rescue all the people that are trapped in the house or put out the fire, which is another way of rescuing them. And that was, you know, it's kind of a cool game. I played it once or twice. I like the idea of a cooperative game just because it's different. Now, if we want to, we can go into the whole whole thinking about a societal shift where, okay, you know, it's no longer, you know, we shouldn't be fighting each other. Well, or we shouldn't be competing. That's a better way of putting it. We shouldn't be competing with one another. We should all cooperate and get along and do it that way. While, you know, so the whole idea of sports and the whole idea of competing and winning at sports, it's like, oh, that's a bad thing. You know, bro, you want hurt the other person or whatever. It's like, no, that's a good thing. There's some good things that can come out of competition, and that is obviously the stronger person will win. So there's the whole idea of achievement, the whole idea that you going to fight against each other and see who can win. You know, and if you're all working, let's say, like these X prizes that the government does, especially, you know, for the defense is a big one. Who does do these X prizes? And the whole idea is they have a competition to see who can develop the technology first. And that's a good, healthy competition. You know, of course, the tough part about that whole thing is that you can put in, well, a lot of money and see nothing out of it for the most part, because you don't get the prize, which is what you're kind of gambling on, that you will be the winner. But I digress. So, can we have a purely cooperative game in SFU where basically it's all based on combat? You know, I guess you could possibly create a cooperative game, something along the lines of like Klingons versus Tribbles kind of idea, where you got multiple people trying to get rid of the Tribbles. So it's a cooperative game. You know, you work, the idea is to work together to get rid of the Tribbles. I'm not sure if that's the way the game plays. You know, I'm going to be honest there. But, you know, that it could be a game like that, where you have a common goal and you have no reason to fight the other individual. You know, obviously, it might require some overall just tweaking to a certain degree, i.e., don't represent like each player as a different empire. You know, okay, this guy, he's going to be a Klingon. This guy's going to be from Federation. This guy, he's going to be a Zinni. He's going to, over here, you're going to have a Liren, you know, because of, especially when you're playing, you might be role-playing. In our case, there's this natural animosity between those empires. You know, if you're trying to be in character, is what I'm talking about. So, you know, if you get rid of that and just have it so they all seem empire, so they have no reason to fight one another for the most part, then you could possibly do something along those lines, where, you know, you're all trying to work together to accomplish the task. Now, would ADB create a cooperative game? As I said, it's possible that that's what they were working towards when it comes to the Klingons versus Tribbles. I never saw the game, so I can't tell you one way or the other if that was truly the case. So, but, you know, I think we can actually, if we want to, we actually could have, use some SFU background material for this, you know, to create a game that is a cooperative game, which I think definitely is, I like to say beer and pretzels, but that's not, I don't think, quite the case. You know, you can, Russ showed up and said cooperative SFU equals objective juggernaut. Yeah. Understand. I was gonna say, you know, the whole idea of a military intelligence, you know. But I'm sorry, I eschew that thought, just because of, you can be in the military, you can be very intelligent and still be in the military. Just had this overriding need to, you know, protect people, protect the, our country. You know, that's one of the reasons why you get into the Marines or the Army or whatever. Now, in combat, are you fighting for the country? No, hell no. You're not fighting for your country. You're fighting for the guy next to you. You know, you're trying to keep, when you are a hero, in that case, you are not trying to protect the country. You're trying to protect your fellow, you know, the next guy in the squad. You know, that's what you do. So, of course, the whole idea of combat is to have the other guy die for his country. You know, which is weird. Now, I'll mention this real quick and then move on. And that is, these days I find it harder and harder. Maybe it's because I'm 52. Yes, I'm 52 years old now. But I find it harder and harder to watch a movie or TV show where they value life so little. You know, oh, we'll just kill the person. Boom, you know. It's like, yeah, but that person is, even no matter how bad they were, they didn't do it. You know, they didn't, most part, I don't believe they deserve to die. To me, killing someone for quote unquote case of justice is not justice. What it is, actually, it's revenge. It's not justice when you kill someone, it's revenge. You want that person to hurt as much as you do. That's revenge. That's not justice. Does killing someone, when it comes to having the death penalty, will that stop the person, you know, from, you know, will that, is that a deterrent for someone else to killing a person? No. No, it's not. So, why do it? You know, just have it. I can see the whole idea of having a person locked away for the rest of their lives. I understand that. And there are certain times I will say it's for betterment of society that they're locked in prison for the rest of their lives. Because you're protecting that person, us from that person, you know. So I agree there, but the whole idea of, you know, lethal injection and all that kind of thing, I don't agree with. But I digress. So, can you have a stop with you of a cooperative game? Yeah, you can. Obviously, as I mentioned, the whole idea of, you know, Klingons versus Tribbles, that could probably be a cooperative game if it isn't already. Or something along those lines where you have a number of people from the same empire trying to achieve a single task. That doesn't involve weapons. Well, it could involve weapons, but, you know, the idea, that's why I say, you know, it has to be the same empire, is so that the idea of shooting another person because they're from a different empire has no way of even crossing your mind. So, anyhow, would I like to see something? Yeah, actually, I would. That's the one thing that I must admit that I liked about Pandemic. Yeah, Pandemic. Okay, let's get this pronounced right. And that is that I'm more and more enamored with the idea of card games. And this is one of those, well, it's a board game that involves cards. That's what it really is. And I'm more and more liking the idea of using cards. So maybe for next week, I know we've done this exercise before, which is the whole idea of creating a new game given the current licensed material, the current product, break it apart, break it down to its components, and then say, okay, what can we create from this? It's like the whole idea of a deck of cards, 52 cards organized in this fashion. What can we do? What kind of game can we create from that? It's the same concept where you have existing materials and then try to create a game from the existing materials that you have available with you. So I'm going to see if I can maybe come up with a game using Starfleet Battle Force cards, because I think the Starfleet Battle Force cards are a great... Ooh. Actually, that's a neat idea, which is, Russ was mentioning, perhaps an F&E scale economic game along the lines of trading goods, which I agree that'd be a nice game for SFU cooperative game. Well, actually, even that could be, I think he was more mentioning the competition, maybe using cards for that kind of thing. And I can see that. Now, obviously, when it comes to card games, there are multiple ways of doing it. You know, obviously, there's the current Starfleet Battle Force rules where you actually, there are ships and then you fight, the ships engage in combat and they fight each other using the weapons that you pull out of the deck. So that's totally random of what possible cards you're going to pick. So what possible weapons you have available when it comes to firing it upon that person. So, have that, and then, what else can we create from that? Could we actually, that's an interesting idea, which is, wondering if you could do something with Starfleet Battle Force where you have decks of cards, and those cards are the ships, and then you have to trade. You can trade ships, like trading players on a sports team. Could be interesting to see how that would work. But, let me see if I can work on something, because what I really want to do is before next weekend, what I'd like to do is have the Starfleet Marine stuff done and out the door, or at least so that next time we talk next week that I can say, okay, this is where I am, and we can push that out the door, which just reminds me that I just had to look see what today's date is. The 8th, because of I have a big thing happening at work on the 23rd of February, so I need to start bugging people about that. So. Anyhow, I think we're going to wrap it up with that. Had a nice little discussion talking about Starfleet Marines and what it takes to add it to the SFU online client, and also what it is, and had a nice little discussion about cooperative games and whether it actually is a possibility when it comes to the Starfleet universe. Is it possible? Yeah. What kind of game would it be? As I said, could be the Klingon versus Tribbles, because I've not seen the rules, so I'm not sure what kind of game it is. Now, obviously, one thing I not look for is a YouTube video, because I think they actually recorded it at one time. I'm not sure. Obviously, AB has not released that product, but they had it in playtesting before. So I think it was still a kind of a competition and not a cooperative game. So, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.